Yeah, so welcome to episode, what is it? It's not really episode 8, right? It's episode 7.5. It's the We're Not Dead episode.
We just had to get some honey so we can make some... No, we had to produce honey to make some dough because we're busy bees.
Yeah. Bees don't make dough.
So. No, but they make honey and you can put honey into dough.
Oh, okay. You know,
we're the bees working for the man and he gives us honey.
I love this analogy. I have no idea where it's coming from.
Yeah.
But all right, it's making sense. I'm on some strange level. I'm going to continue having my first coffee for the day because I need that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I should introduce coffee into my diet too. Perhaps it helps.
If you've done this long without it, I don't know whether it's worth it at this point. Maybe just don't go down that dark avenue.
The dark path.
Yeah, exactly.
I can put milk in it. Put milk on the path, on the dark path, yeah.
So what are we talking about today? So today's just going to be a lightning round of like what's going on, right?
Yeah. What did we do? Let's start.
Well, I guess first things first. So you have seen Doctor Strange and I haven't.
Yeah, I've seen it yesterday.
Okay, cool.
Barely 12 hours away.
But we're not going to talk about Doctor Strange today. Or do you want to talk about Doctor Strange and do a non-spoiler?
No. We should talk about it when you have seen it because I'm really interested in hearing your opinion first about this movie.
Are you serious? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm seeing it. It was
a very surprising movie.
Mm. All right. So that's all we're going to say about that.
Yeah.
I'm seeing it on Thursday then. So we'll plan another session after I see it.
Yeah.
All right. So then moving on, we got a whole lot of other stuff to talk about as well in terms of what we've been reading, watching, and generally entertaining ourselves with. Because there's a lot of stuff that's happened in between the last show and this one, right?
Yeah.
So we had Luke Cage, a whole bunch of trailers come out, and then a whole bunch of TV shows start as well. Now that the fall season has started in the US.
Yeah.
So what's been keeping you busy?
Of course, Luke Strange has been keeping me busy.
Luke Cage. Luke Strange.
Yeah, which was? Luke Strange. Did I say Luke Strange? No, Mr. Cage kept me busy. It was a wonderful show. I really enjoyed it. I don't understand why people don't like the writing or say it had lazy. It was lazily written. Because I thought it was a good show, a solid show. I fear for Iron Fist.
You fear for Iron Fist?
Yeah.
Why? Why because, fear?
Yeah, you know, after watching Luke Cage, I think I got a good view about the status of being black in America, mm-hmm. and what could change. And then the trailer comes along where a white guy beats the Asians at their own game.
Yeah, I mean, look. I mean, I can see that. That's kind of the Iron Fist story, though. So, yes. You know, like the Muppets say, you buy the donut, you buy the hole, right? with Iron Fist, you can't, you know, you can't really deviate. I mean, I guess you can. You could have cast Iron Fist as an Asian character, but it wouldn't be the same sort of dynamic in that case.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, maybe it could have. I don't know. But we get what we're going to get with Iron Fist. It looks interesting. It looks exciting. So I'm excited for that. I thought Luke Cage was great. I thought the writing was good. I mean, from what I saw of the negative commentary, it sounded like people who were just being petty and wanted to make a statement. You know, kind of like, oh, how about some diversity in this cast? You know?
Okay, that's so stupid. It's set in Harlem.
Yeah. I mean,
and it's about
it sounds like people trying to make that statement because calling for diversity in other movies is what they're protesting against. You know, it felt like it was just a small minority who just wanted to be troublemakers more than anything else. Because I don't think it was like a super valid response. Because overall, I thought the Luke Cage season was really good. Story was great. I just loved the vibe and the atmosphere of the whole show. So it felt like it was set in the 70s, even though it was like in normal times. So that was great.
Yeah. Even some of the special effects felt like they were taken out of blaxploitation movies or movies out of the 70s, because sometimes I felt like an effect would go off too early or too late, especially in the scene where he storms the last safe house where they have all the money, and he throws a guy into a bit of drywall, and the drywall already gives way before the guy hits it.
Really?
And I noticed such things. Yeah, perhaps it's just my passive coffee addiction or something.
Maybe if you're keen, maybe you can slow time down like the Flash. I didn't notice that, but I'll look out for it if I ever watch that again.
No, there are some small bits where I thought, oh, if that was made put in there intentionally, it would be very clever.
Yeah. Rather than just like bad production values.
Yeah. Benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Cool. So aside from Luke Cage, what else have you been watching?
I've been watching The Jungle Book, the new Disney real life thing.
The live action one?
Yeah, I really enjoyed that one. It was actually more fun than I anticipated, and especially the last sequence where they actually open the book and all the small dioramas pop up.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I thought the movie overall was great. I saw it in the cinemas, and it was just great on the big screen. I think the animal effects, hearing them talk, the way they'd rendered them using CGI was just great. It was a really good-looking movie and really well done, so I was really impressed by it.
Yeah, you completely forget that the only thing that's real are a few branches and the boy.
Yeah. The boy, I mean, I can't remember his name now, but he did a really good job as well. So I thought he played that part really well.
His diapers were real as well. I hope.
We want you to wear diapers for this whole movie. Yeah. I've been watching Westworld, so I don't know if you've...
Oh, no, I haven't seen it yet. How is it?
So I'm up to date. So it's episode, I think five episodes have come out now. And it's heading towards a conclusion. There is a conclusion kind of on the horizon, kind of. It's got a lot of mystery. The first couple episodes kind of spend a lot of time building up the world, and it's done kind of in layers. And I was worried early on that it's not actually going to go anywhere. Like Lost, you know, like it's just writing mystery for the sake of writing mystery, and everything's confused and going around in circles. I don't like shows like that. I like shows to have a point. I like, I was just joking the other day. I want to know that eventually Khaleesi is going to ride in on the dragons and destroy the White Walker army, you know? So I need to at least see that vision on the horizon. With Westworld, it wasn't so clear for a while what was actually the point of the show. But I think by episode 5, we're starting to see how it's all going to come together. So that's exciting.
Okay, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, the show itself is done really well. I mean, it's one of those shows that really, you know, you can discuss with your friends at length about what's actually going on. Because there's the way they treat time and just the order of the way things happen is very strange and interesting. It doesn't make sense initially, but then as you watch more, you kind of start building a theory around what actually is happening. It's really cool. Really cool show.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to finding the time to watch it.
Yeah,
give it the time it needs.
Yeah, it's a real sit down show. It's kind of intense. It's quite violent as well. They really have a good time with the blood and violent effects. So if you're into that sort of thing, you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I guess you have to do that to justify the robot uprising that will happen at some point.
Well, yes.
Because have you seen the original movie that Michael Crichton directed, I think?
No, I haven't seen the original, which is probably why I didn't think it was going anywhere for a while.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. Obviously, from a movie point of view, it has to be much tighter and sort of work out its story arc a lot faster, whereas the show could spend a lot more time sort of looking at the characters and really playing around with the way the characters work.
Okay.
So, okay, robot uprising in the future. It's kind of not where it's going currently. So they may deviate from the movie, but I don't know how. It'll be interesting to see how they handle it.
I hope they don't bring a CGI Yul Brynner back, the guy who played the Man in Black in the movie, because I still have nightmares By that guy, yeah, because I saw the movie when I was like 5 or 6 years old, and wow. I got my own TV set, and it was on as a night feature, and I couldn't sleep, and I watched it. And there's a scene where he walks through a corridor,
yeah,
and he looks determined, and you know he's a robot and he's going to kill everybody, and somebody made a GIF of him walking through that corridor that runs forever.
Oh, right.
It gives me nightmares.
The endless corridor.
Yeah, because he looks so determined. He looks like he'll grab you out of the screen you're watching the thing on and kill you.
Nice. All right, I'm going to avoid that one then until I watch the season. So I think it's only going to be a 10-episode season, so we're halfway.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
So aside from that, it's just been Flash and Arrow. I mean, I haven't really had a whole bunch of time, so I've been watching Flash and Arrow on the side. I did watch the first Supergirl episode where Superman shows up as well.
No, I didn't. Yeah, I have them on my DVR'd, but yeah. I haven't watched them yet.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I ever will, to be honest.
Well, I mean, the Supergirl show is not like anything to write home about. But what was interesting was there was an article, I think, I can't remember where I read it. I think it was on The Verge, talking about how the Clark Kent and the Superman in the Supergirl show is a lot more hopeful than the Superman that we've gotten in the movies.
Really?
So, yeah, I mean, and you can see that. He's a much more happier, hopeful Superman. And what's interesting is that the way, I can't remember the actor who plays him, but he can switch from being kind of like a playful, hopeful, happy kind of character from Smallville to being really intense when he needs to be to assert his authority as Superman, you know? Maybe not. Maybe authority is not the right word, but a certain confidence as Superman. So it's really interesting.
So we have hit that point where the TV shows are in some ways better than the movies.
Yeah, I mean, because the movie Superman is kind of, it's not the Superman that everyone was expecting, right? Yeah. And we're not the Superman that everyone likes, which is why a lot of people just didn't like it. I mean, we had this mopey emo Superman walking around looking for his place in the world, and that should have really been resolved at the end of Man of Steel, but yeah. We got the same mopey guy, you know, feeling the burden of guilt for everything that he's done and not done in Batman v Superman as well.
Superman, yeah.
Whereas you want Superman to be the aspirational figure, not so much the dark side of, you know, having that much power. So,
man.
So it was interesting. He's in the next episode as well because they, I think they only had him for the first two episodes, but I haven't seen the second one yet.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, it was just for a point of contrast to see how Superman's being treated in the cinema, in the DCEU, and on TV. It's interesting.
I guess I have to give it a try then, because I'm not really that much into the TV shows anymore. The first season of The Flash and Arrow were fun, but lost me.
Yeah, well, that's the thing with The Flash. You know, with The Flash, we're up to season 3 now. And guess what? We got another evil speedster. Oh, no.
Oh, really?
It's just, The Flash is just running around in circles.
Like in the comic books. Oh, God.
So I'm like, how many times can you reiterate the same sort of, you know, character background? Because we've had, I mean, we've had Zoom, we've had... Reverse Flash. Yeah, but
the Black Eraser.
And now it's like there's another one. And I'm like, all right, haven't we seen this twice already? You know, give us something different.
Yeah.
I'd like Grodd to come back and just Grodd be the bad guy for the for the season, you know?
Grodd is would be a good challenge. Are the rogues a thing yet on the show? Mirror Master, Captain Cold, Weather Wizard, and Flame Guy.
Yeah, well they've sort of put everyone in the show but you know
not together yet.
Flash has kind of worked through each of them. It'll be interesting, you know, if they form kind of a team up of bad guys.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. And Arrow, it's a little bit more interesting than the last season. The last season was kind of felt a little bit like jumped the shark and because they introduced magic. It was a bit strange. Whereas now he's kind of back to basics, fighting effectively an organized crime gang. And he's trying to put a different team together. So it
Make
feels
him the
more
mayor.
Wild. Well, he is the mayor as well.
Oh, he already is. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, he is the mayor.
Make him a communist, finally.
Well, he just joined Bratva, so so they showed the flashback sequence where where he joins the Bratva, because that was established in season one, I think, where he was a part of the Bratva coming out of his 5 years in...
God, it's been so long. I can't
remember. Yeah, I know. It's been a long journey.
I just remember the first scenes where we see Deathstroke's mask, or the guy, his brother, which he killed on the island, and him with the beard. And I thought, oh, everything will be all right. How yeah. wrong I was.
No, nothing's ever all right in Oliver Queen's life.
No.
Which is interesting because he's effectively serving the Bruce Wayne Batman role in the Flash Arrow Supergirl universe. Because I'm pretty sure all three of those things are going to be in one place at some point.
Yeah, there's a musical crossover planned.
Really?
Yeah. Nice. Or I've read that somewhere. I don't know if it was a hoax or not.
So I can see the Flash. Flash, the main guy, I forgot his name. The Flash.
Barry Allen.
Barry Allen. He came out of Glee, right? So obviously he's got a singing background.
Yeah, he was in Glee. Oh, God.
I can't imagine Oliver Queen singing, though.
Okay, I can't imagine it. I think that it would be fun to see the Martian Manhunter sing as well, because he's in Supergirl, I heard.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about the Supergirl that I don't like, is the effects and the costuming just feels so, like, low rent, you know? They just seem so cheap. Cheap costumes for the Martian Manhunter and all the bad guys. It kind of reminds me of, like, Power Rangers costumes.
Oh.
You know, that really bad Japanese style.
Yeah, but watch the Japanese Power Rangers original, because they are doing things. It may seem cheap, but the Japanese people are really putting an effort in there to make their toy commercial shows. Yeah,
yeah, because I think with the Japanese shows, it's more about the attitude, you know?
Yeah.
And I know you're a massive Kamen Rider fan, right? So
Kamen Rider is the best.
You're like fully used to all of that, so.
Yeah.
Have you started watching the new Star Wars Rebels?
Yes. It's amazing.
Okay, I was gonna. I haven't yet. I've got it on my list, but I haven't got there. So you're enjoying it?
It's really good. The first two episodes were they weren't the best thing that they could have done after season two,
mm-hmm.
or at least for me. But it's continuing to build, step after step after step, and I enjoy it very much. Especially the last season, because they put a kind of ribbon on the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels so great, because you see the droids again from the Clone Wars, but with the new animation, and they look great. Everything looks better, more polished, and we get an emotional end to the Clone Wars.
You get that closure.
Yeah.
Which is very important. Yeah. Unlike with Young Justice, where we're just left on the edge. Hearts.
Yeah, I don't know how many Blu-ray sets I should buy of that show to finally convince them to do it.
I'm like slowly rewatching it. It's on Netflix here in the US, so I'm like slowly watching it whenever we've got like a spare 20 minutes or so. It's a great show.
It's amazing. Yeah.
All right, so should we move over to reading?
Yeah, please.
What's been on your pull list?
I've been starting the latest Star Wars novel about what Ahsoka Tano did between the Clone Wars and Rebels.
Okay. That's a good segue.
It's a good read. They also explain some stuff about why the remaining Jedi could not organize during the reigns of the Empire. Because when Vader went evil, he disturbed the Force so much in the opposite direction that all the Jedis were blind for each other. Because
blind to each other, so they couldn't sense each other through the Force.
Yeah. Because Yoda mentions it. I completely forgot that Yoda mentions it in Empire Strikes Back. Not in Empire. In Attack of the Clones, he says something like, shrouded the Force has become, something like that.
Oh, right.
And they really built upon that because the dark side gets so prominent in power. It's a neat book. I'm about halfway through it.
Right. What's it called?
Ahsoka.
It's just called Ahsoka. Okay.
Ahsoka, yeah.
And it's a novel?
It's a novel, yeah. About 300 or 400 pages.
Okay. Awesome.
It's a neat read.
Sounds cool.
What have you been up to?
Reading-wise, just I'm reading The Passage by Justin Cronin. So it's the first book in a trilogy.
Yeah.
It's kind of a science fiction vampire-style story where vampires get created and start a zombie apocalypse, kind of. So I've reached the part where the zombie apocalypse, or it's a vampire apocalypse in this case, because it's actually like a virus that spreads. Has effectively wiped out most of North America. Very interesting book. There's a lot of crazy stuff happening. It's kind of at the same scale as World War Z. If you remember when I told you about World War Z, how it was like a global event that happened with the zombie plague, and it sort of spread through all the countries, and each country sort of reacted to it differently. This one's very similar, but you get all of the story from the point of view of specific characters. And it really gives you a lot of background into those characters. So you understand the characters very well. And then you see the changes that are happening in the world through their eyes as they see it. So when they get news and read newspapers or hear a TV report of what's going on in the larger world, that's how you as a reader get the information as well. So you have to kind of piece together what's going on. It's a very good... It's a slow build up, but it's got to the point now where, you know, everything's hit the fan. So, and it's enjoyable.
Yeah. And especially these days, it's more, unnerving and disturbing to read about things or hear about times where I've not been able to acquire news in real time or real time through Twitter.
Yeah. Like through the internet. Right. And it's interesting now, like me being based in Chicago, is both in World War Z and in this book, Chicago doesn't survive either apocalypse. In World War Z, there's a massive battle that takes place here, which you hear about when someone tells the story of the Battle of Chicago. And in The Passage, I think it's The Passage, they actually talk about the specific neighborhoods and what happened in different zones of the city. Which is really interesting.
And let me guess, Patient X emerges from your building.
I hope it's not my building, but yeah, it's like people don't do a very good job of. I guess as a city, in terms of like where it sits and the way it's organized, it's not the most defensible position. So it's an interesting one. So maybe Chicago is not the best place to be for a zombie apocalypse, should it happen. Yep. What's interesting though is the vampires in this book are not your traditional vampires. So it's not like a Dracula or Interview the Vampire style vampire. It's not like a mystical type vampire either. They're kind of like an ancient species which has been reawoken, and they kind of have a hive mind as well. So it's really interesting. As the story develops, to find out more about how they work and what they are.
That sounds interesting. So like Borg? Yeah, the Borg.
Kind of. So, I mean, they're all connected to each other. So from what I can sort of see so far, they're all connected to each other, but they still retain some elements of the original personality. Or, you know, there's personality differences between individuals, but they can all still be like a Borg mind.
Oh, nice.
So they, you know, at one level, they kind of operate as one, but at another level, they also do have individuality within the individuals in the hive, if that makes any sense. It's interesting. I'm not quite sure what's going on, but I guess that's why, you know, there's still half the book left.
And it's a trilogy, so.
Yeah.
There's enough meat. Oh, there's enough red meat for the vampires to chew through them.
Yeah. It's a big book though, but it's, I think it's worth getting into if you like that sort of thing.
It's as long as the vampires don't sparkle in sun or moonlight or anything else and get romantically involved with people.
They surely don't.
Great.
They surely don't. Any comics that you've been reading?
Well, I haven't been reading comics for 2 weeks now. No, that's not entirely true. I've reread Jupiter's Circle and Jupiter's Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
The Mark Millar thing. And then I forgot why, but I had a specific because spoiler, Sky Fox gets killed in the latest episode or in the latest issue of Jupiter's Legacy. And he's a sort of superpowered Batman. And I have the theory that he got killed for a reason, that that was part of the plan. And there are other peoples which I'm in contact who say that I'm a complete idiot for thinking so, and everything is an elaborate illusion. And I wanted to get more clues about that it's not an illusion, that he actually planned his death, and thought that Mark Millar would have written something in there. I can recommend both series, especially Jupiter's Circle, because it's set in the 60s.
Okay.
Yeah, I think from the 60s upwards, and tells the story of the old superheroes from Jupiter's Legacy. And it introduces the problem that homosexuals faced in the 60s, especially prominent ones with J. Edgar Hoover. And it's just a neat read about people coming to terms with who they are and making mistakes and are, you know, the mistakes they make have repercussions,
right?
Yeah, and that's just it's a good superhero comic from Mark Millar, which baffles me without end that I could ever say such words.
You're not really a Mark Millar fan normally.
Oh, I was a fan until Kick-Ass,
right?
Because I can see the appeal of the whole thing, but He and Nemesis, those are just Michael. They are even beneath Michael Bay movies, because this weekend when I had a break, I saw Transformers: Age of Extinction, and you told me about the milk from China that gets featured prominently.
Yeah,
and I could laugh at that scene, but the rest of the movie is just such a convoluted piece of shit.
Yeah, look, the Transformers movies just get progressively worse as you go. But ironically, they also make progressively more money each iteration. So,
but how can they do that? Because the color grading of the movies alone is shit. Everything indoors looks green, and every time they go outdoors, they look like they ate too much carrots, because everybody looks orange. It's abysmal. And all the...
You know, that could very well have been an artistic choice that somebody made.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's art, so...
Yeah, no, look, I mean, look, nobody's saying that those movies are high art or anything like that.
No, they're cash grab.
I fell asleep through several Transformers movies, I think, so, you know.
I haven't seen the third one. Perhaps the third one is a masterpiece.
Is that the Mark Wahlberg one?
No, it's that was the fourth one.
Oh, okay.
The third one is the one with the doctor from the Doctor series, McDreamy?
Oh, really? McDreamy?
Grey's Anatomy, yeah.
Grey's Anatomy, yeah. Okay, I can't remember them. I know, yeah.
I just
watch them as popcorn movies when they're out. Yeah. I just want to see the spectacle. I remember one, like Optimus Prime was fighting Megatron, and I couldn't even tell which robot was which, because just like the CGI was so...
Yeah,
so strange. I just, you know, they were wrestling, and they just looked like one big ball of mech.
I just watched a few weeks ago the Machinima series, Combiner Wars.
Oh, right.
And I complained about the fights. They are looking like they meshed two toys together and made dish dish sounds while doing so. And then I watched the fourth movie, and as you described, it's just pieces of CGI converging with each other.
Speaking of mechs, it just reminded me, I actually watched, there's a Netflix series here called Knights of Cydonia. It's a anime.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one? I've only seen season one.
Oh, okay. I got a big recommendation from a fellow Austrian.
Oh, right. There you go. Yeah. No, I really recommend it. I mean, if you were a fan of the Robotech series, like the Macross series from like the 80s, this was really cool. What's great about it is the pacing is done really well. Like, there's effectively a nice big mech fight every episode, and it kind of ends on like a high note. Like each episode kind of goes very neatly into the next one. So you can binge watch it very comfortably. The animation is pretty good. Yeah. And the design of the show is very, very cool as well. So it's not like over the top with the emotion like a lot of anime can be. I think it's quite measured. It's done pretty well. And the fight sequences and the bad guys and the way it all fits together is really cool.
Amazing.
There's one weird thing about it. Sometimes the, from a world building point of view, the internal design and decisions that were made with the way some things work just doesn't make sense to me. But when you watch it, we can discuss that in more detail. I won't give you any more than that.
Okay. Yeah, I need something to pass the time until Voltron comes back next year.
Yeah. No. This is good. This is good. This is definitely recommended. I took a break after season one to get into Westworld, but I'll definitely be going back for season two.
Is it already on Netflix?
Knights of Cydonia is, yeah. Okay. So in the US Netflix, I'm not sure where you are, but it's definitely on the US Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix is strange.
Well, it should be. It's a Netflix original, so it should be.
Oh, okay, so it should be. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely worth checking out. Awesome. So yeah, that kind of brings me up. The only thing I wanted to tell you about, which I think we'll save for the next episode, which will be only a couple weeks away after I see Doctor Strange. I played Arkham VR on the PlayStation Virtual Reality.
Oh, you actually played it, okay.
Well, it was the preview, I believe, so it's not like the whole game, but...
I watched someone play the whole game after you put it on our list.
Yeah.
A colleague of mine bought the PlayStation VR set.
All right.
And I watched him play on the TV. I didn't try it.
Oh, you got it. Out. Well, you know, you should definitely try it because it was an experience.
Okay. I can imagine because there's some scenery in there which is not disturbing but amazing to look at. Like how's it called? You know, the rides where you get scared?
Yeah, like a roller coaster.
A roller coaster, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no, it's weird. Like the thing that I didn't sort of, it only struck me once I put the headset on was, it's in three dimensions, right?
Yeah.
So as Batman, when you're standing on the top of a building and you look down, like you see the street and it does give you that sense of, oh my God, I'm at height, right? That was cool. The other thing for me was, and I want to see what your interpretation is, when you're playing the game, you know, because I know the characters and I've known the characters for so long, it had a different dimension for me because I was like the material itself wasn't just like a movie or a story that I was watching. I was now suddenly in Batman, like in the shoes of Batman, interacting with the different characters who I almost felt like I had a history with, which was so strange. So it'll be interesting to see, like, if you play it, what your take on that is.
You played a preview build?
Yeah, so it wasn't the full game. It was just it was kind of like a story preview where you have to, 'cause Robin goes missing, so you have to go after and find Robin. But in order to find Robin, you got to find Nightwing first. So you kind of go through the city and you'd sort of... have to track down where Robin is.
How long did it last? An hour?
I think it was about maybe 40 minutes, half an hour.
Oh, okay.
Well, it may have been an hour. I only played for about half an hour because I kind of, we had multiple people there, so we all took turns to sort of progress the story.
Okay. Because the twist at the end was, I looked through the twist from the moment you find Nightwing. I already knew the end by then.
Really? You mean when you're inside the cell?
Yeah. At the beginning when you find Nightwing.
So when you find Nightwing and you've got to use detective mode to trace what happened.
Exactly. And when Batman makes a few remarks, and I already know the story of Arkham, the last Arkham game.
Arkham Knight.
Yeah. Thank you. And it was pretty clear from there on what happened and how the story, at least for me, and I won the prize at the end.
Oh, really? so the last scene, so after you find Nightwing, it takes you to Arkham Asylum, and you're going through the different cells looking inside the cells, and then something happens at that stage. So I don't know. Is it a spoiler? Is it worth giving away? I don't, you know, let's not.
No, we should. Let's discuss it in
okay, later. We'll discuss it in the next one.
Yeah,
all right,
next one, because, you know, it really, I don't know how I would have felt if I would have experienced the whole thing through the VR set, because, you know, you are in Batman's shoes, and yeah, it's already pretty gruesome to witness what happened with Nightwing. And as you progress, you get...
Yeah. And that's what I was saying, you know. Yeah. So let's talk about it more in the next one.
Yeah,
interesting one, and it's good that you've seen it too. If you get a chance to play it and stand in those shoes,
yeah,
get a chance to do it because it's really awesome. So I'm really excited over like this whole VR thing is really exciting me. I can't wait for more games to come out.
I'm so indifferent to the whole.
Well, I've wanted to get a console for ages, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so now I'm thinking, you know, I'm just going to wait until VR becomes good, and then I'll just get one then. I mean, I've lived without a console for so long that there's no real rush for me. Just as winter is starting to set in Chicago, I really wanted something in case I get trapped in my house for like 3 days, you know?
Yeah, well, done. And perhaps it's a good idea to invest in the new PlayStation with the VR headset, because I think if you're into VR, it's the best thing money can get you.
Yeah, I think from a cost point of view, it's the most affordable option, and it's probably the most simplest one as well. Like looking into it, the Oculus and the Rift, the Oculus Rift and the HTC Vive. There's a lot more setup and complexity associated with those. You do get a lot better quality apparently, because even my friend who's got the PSVR, he said that the Vive was a much better experience for him.
So, oh, really?
Yeah,
because my guy said that he likes the PSVR better. The quality is higher than the one of the Vive. He owns a Vive as well.
Oh, really? Wow, yeah. you got a virtual reality expert there in Austria.
Yeah, just know the one guy who has a much too large spending account, because He only bought like two games, some Nordic adventure game. He tried out the Vive with, and then he got the VR because of the Batman experience.
All right, yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Now, you know, all these different platforms are going to have their own exclusives. So you got to look at like which is the kind of property you want to get. The other one that I saw just as a preview on YouTube was the new Tomb Raider. They just showed some background for how they're doing the new Tomb Raider VR game, and that looks pretty cool as well. So yeah, there's, you know, that's a big space with a lot of things coming, so I'm quite excited. This is turning into a gaming podcast now.
we're doing pop culture, and you know, video games are a big part of it. Yeah,
it's Batman related, so
everything comes down to Batman.
But that's kind of the approach I wanted to take, you know, as a Batman fan, as a fan of Batman and the characters from, you know, decades, 4 years and years, what it was like actually going through that story. So let's discuss that in the next session. All right. But yeah, so unfortunately my time is running out now.
Have a great time.
Wherever you're going. Yeah. I've got an appointment with people and things. All right. You have a good day.
Yeah, you too.
And I'll talk to you soon. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm looking forward to it.
Bye-bye.